The flagship station of the Jaguars. WJXL-FM, Jacksonville Beach.
1010XL is presented by Farrah and Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville.
Lax 904 presents This Week in North Florida Lacrosse.
This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL is brought to you by MSHAC,
Derek Prince Realtor,
and Bar Down Lacrosse.
Now here's your host, Ray Carnicelli.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it.
So here comes Campin into the offensive end for Bowles. He's coming out to the right wing.
I was going to say, I would try to do a little two-man game here and see if you can't get somebody free.
Yeah, Daylon John Hill's calling for that two-man game, and they come off of him, but Campin's going to skip it across to Cox. Back over to Crotty. Down that left alley. He's got room. Shot, score! And game over. Jack Cox calls it a game, and the white shirts of Bulls storm the field. Quick possession, and what a finish.
What a nice shot.
What a finish it was. That was Bowles defeating Oak Hall 9-8 in overtime. Welcome to a special Cinco de Mayo edition of This Week in North Florida Lacrosse. I am Ray Carnicelli, joined by Jim Applegate. Jim, we've watched a ton of high school over the years, and that was by far the best game I saw this year. And it was an all-time great.
Yeah, I didn't really have any expectations going into that game. Didn't know much about Oak Hall. I knew they played Ponte Vedra tight, earlier in the season. But I really was impressed with Coach Montes and his team. They just really came out and battled Bulls to the end.
You loved Jimenez.
Oh, Jimenez was I was called him Iron Man last night because I don't think the kid left the field at all. He's probably in an ice bath since that game's over.
I was texting with Coach Montes this morning and just told him congratulations, and I on a great season, didn't want that game to end. And for Bulls, they get to move on to the Final Four, and they are battle tested. It looked like Greer Borey, the faceoff man, went down, and he has been such a critical part of the success of the Bulls school. But they had to put the poles out there. Obviously, it was Hogan for a while, and getting the numbers, I think it was David Carroll, the number 22, was out there as a pole, and he had a huge goal in the Bulls' comeback because they were trailing late, and just a thrilling game. Both goalies were unbelievable. Will Martell for the Bulls school, and let's see, what was that goalie?
Kesker.
Kesker for Oak Hall. It was just a fun game. My expectations were that Bulls offense, I thought they were going to come out with a lot of firepower, but Coach Montes just did such a great job prepared. And we talked about the approach angles on defense, getting back and not allowing the transition, clogging the lanes and the passing lanes for those skip passes. The close defenders, it's hard they don't get a lot of credit during the game. You don't call out their numbers a lot because, they don't have the ball. But those close defenders, Parker Kane and Daylon John Hill, we didn't hear much from them yesterday.
No, we didn't. And, Kobe Balog had the task of guarding Daylon, and he really did a good job, like you said, Ray. Their sticks were in the passing lanes, and I think Bulls just kind of got lulled into playing Oak Hall style of lacrosse, where Bulls is more up-tempo. And Oak Hall was able to take the air out of the ball and just kind of play more of a six-on-six game. And obviously, Bulls with their athletes, they want to get up and down the field.
Yeah, the freshman, Dominic Mareschi, just so confident for a freshman. Very skilled, but his poise for a ninth grader, smaller guy, obviously he's in ninth grade. He's got some growing up to do. But he was very impressive, and we mentioned Andrew Jimenez and then Pierce Montes as well. Like those three guys. I know we're talking a lot about the Gainesville team that lost, but we just hadn't seen them play. And then Bowles, it was just a team effort. So they're going to be battle tested when they go into the state Final Four.
Yeah, and we were talked a lot yesterday too about Padgett, the defensive midi for Bowles, and he really did a great job. He was on the wings, picking, I don't know how many ground balls he picked up off the wing, but it was a ton, and he was always always in the action on the defensive end.
Yeah, J.D. Mattson as well, just a few of the names out there. I mentioned Bryce Hogan, and Lee Crotty had the ball quite a bit as well. So they've got their work cut out for them. Benjamin is 19-1, and you know, Benjamin's always tough.
They're always well coached, like you said. They have the South Florida swagger. They play the St. Andrews and the better teams during the season. And you know, like you said, a 19-1 record, man, that's stellar.
So you've got Bowles versus Benjamin. Community School, is that Naples?
Yes.
The Community School of Naples versus St. Andrews. And then you've got Plant versus Winter Park and St. Thomas Aquinas versus Lake Mary. Lake Mary handled Ponte Vedra yesterday. It sounds like, you know, Coach Robinson's team, they know how to possess the ball. They know how to take away transition. And, you know, what are your thoughts when you see the score? And I know you've talked to and communicated with some people who were at that game.
Yeah. Ponte Vedra had trouble scoring goals this year. And I think Lake Mary – again, talk about playing a slower pace of the game and just controlling the ball. And you know, Coach Robinson has a tendency of frustrating you when you're playing against his team. And I think that's what happened last night. I didn't get a chance to talk to many people about the game, but looking at the score, 12-3, didn't seem like Ponte Vedra was in it at all.
So when you're looking at the high school, you know, Lake Mary and St. Thomas Aquinas, that's going to be a great game. Plant and Winter Park, if you had to you know, talk about 1A or 2A right now, the bigger schools, who do you think is going to win the?
I still think Lake Mary is the premier, and to be honest with you, basically the final game is happening, right? Lake Mary, St. Thomas Aquinas, whoever wins that game is going to win the state.
Okay, well, you heard it right here. We're going to jump all over the place today. We've got some special guests, and we've got a caller right now. My broadcast partner, Tyler Grinnelli. Coach, how you doing today?
Ray, how's everything going over there?
It's good. I'm guessing you're out on a lacrosse field somewhere coaching.
I am. I'm over in San Marco right now, working with some youth guys, trying to find the next great, true national young man, and helping Chris Bockett out with his strike lacrosse club as well.
Awesome. Did you have fun broadcasting? Because you did a great job.
I appreciate it. I think I stuttered a few times, but had a blast. It was fun to be up there, and I think it was more exciting just to see the players rolling right now. I think they got a lot of momentum going into this championship game this afternoon.
So Utah, with their different style, it's chaotic. It's tough to coach. It's tough to come up with a game plan. What do you think Jacksonville needs to do, both offensively and defensively, and overall transition? What's it going to take for Jacksonville to pull this off?
I texting back and forth with you over the last few days. I think a cool question to ask Coach Galloway would have been like, what is the messaging to offset, Utah's like fast paced, the run and gun style? And to me, it's not getting caught up in, you know, their game, right? Playing, you know, JU's way. I think all year Jacksonville has been able to have that like great balance where the transition game has been able to spark them, but then they've been excellent and super efficient and then, you know, unselfish on the offensive end. So I just hope to see that continue. A few things that come to mind is if Nathan Kapp continues to have the success at the X, playoff lacrosse is about like time of possession. Can you control the tempo and the pace of the game? You know, so I think that's going to be huge for them. And then again, it's like, can you just get in the hole when there's kind of like unforced turnovers and things like that and just kind of like calm the storm a little bit? Obviously both teams are capable of going on major runs, but that's the game of lacrosse. It's like who can withstand the runs and who can have one more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, one of the things that was concerning, it was a great win versus Air Force, but one of the things that was concerning, Applegate and I were watching the game together, and there was seemed to be some breakdowns in communication on defense, on the switches and the doubles and so forth. Did you notice that? And that's something you cannot afford to do against Utah.
Right, correct. Yeah, I think that, you know, JU wants to play an aggressive style on the defensive end, you know, but at the same time, you want to stay away from fouling guys and things like that. JU's, like, caught a little bit of the injury bug. You know, two of their starting defenders, their number one cover guy, went down, I believe, with an ACL midway through the year. So they've had to call on some veteran guys that maybe haven't got as much game experience over the last few years. And I think they've done an incredible job of stepping up. And, you know, it's all about playing when the lights are on. So obviously today will be a big one. But, yeah, communication is key. And I hope that Ryan Della Rocca can kind of control those guys and continue to be a little bit of a brick wall and kind of the calming presence behind it all. Because I think that's what stirs the pot for those guys. He's so incredible in cage. You know, even when there are those kind of mental breakdowns, he has had the ability to bail him out. And so I don't expect anything to change for him in net.
It's just been an amazing lacrosse season, and these playoffs, Selection Sunday tonight is going to be wild. There's going to be some really good teams who don't make the NCAA tournament in Division One. Those bubble teams, will they take three from the Big Ten? That's one of the big questions. Are all four ACC teams getting in? And same thing with the Ivy Leagues. Is Cornell going to get in or not? I mean, it's going to be tough. But let me ask you a Division Three question. Is there any way that Salisbury doesn't win the title? Your school, the Fighting Seagulls.
Good question. You're putting me into a trap there. I think that they have an extremely big, powerful, you know, unbelievable defense that is kind of anchoring things, and then it allows their offense to get rolling, even if it's a slow start here and there. I know those guys as well have kind of overcome a few different injuries on the offensive end, but it seems like it's just next man up for those guys. And I know Coach Berkman and Coach Axel, Coach Garbarino, Borkwitz up there, those guys are going to have them prepared going into the tournament. They got a big one against CNU to win the conference today. And then I would imagine if the, you know, they win that, they lock up the number one seed in the South. And, you know, it's a different kind of ball game when you're talking about Division III, because their format is real unique, where they have to play back-to-back on a Saturday, Sunday, all the way up to the championship. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how deep they go at the midfield, if they have a third LSM that can roll out there. And then, again, you know, staying healthy all the way through is really important.
Well, we wondered what happened to Jack Dowd, because he was no goals and four assists. It's like he's our go-to scoring guy, but it shows you know, he has the ability to just play within the game. If they're putting a lot of pressure on him, he plays with his head up. And, you know, we obviously, we won't talk about what happened to Cortland versus Potsdam, but I guess I'm a Seagull fan here. I want Jack to win another title.
Yeah, I think every time I talk to the Salisbury coaches up there, they tell me great things about Jack Dowd. And that warms my heart. It's really cool to see a guy, again, that kind of had to make a quick decision, you know, when he was transferring and the program was shut down. And, you know, a guy that I've known for a handful of years, really impressive for him to wear a lot of different hats. You know, if he needs to put one in the back of the net, we all know he's capable of roping one upper 90s, you know, righty or lefty, but then the ability to feed. I think it's just like that's what they breed at Salisbury. It's just like unselfish play. They want everything assisted. And he's doing everything he can to, you know, to be coachable and get W's up there.
Well, it's hard to believe, but Coach Berkman was the coach at Salisbury when I played against them back in 89, or I think his first year was like 89 or 90. He's been there forever. He's a legend. Then you got the other Berkman up in Potsdam. So it's great to talk to you today, Ty. We'll definitely be catching up during the game, I'm sure. And let's go, JU, and give Coach Bocklet my best. I know he lost a friend this week that passed away, so my condolences to Coach Bocklet. And I'm glad you guys are out there doing what you love to do. And have a great day today, Ty.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. I'll just give a shout-out to family and friends of Callan Robinson, a guy that played his college ball at Stevenson, who lost his life in a surfing accident in Mexico. So a lot of guys that are showing a lot of support. It's tragic. Thoughts and prayers to him, his family, and friends.
Yes, sir. All right, Ty, well, have a great Sunday. Happy Cinco de Mayo, and let's go JU.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, come back, a lot of lacrosse to talk about. You're listening to the number one rated lacrosse show in all of North Florida, this week in LAX 904.
Have a better morning drive with Brunch with the Tour.
Tour news, tips, and inside info.
Your highly technical golf terms, you use them on your very first lesson.
Brought to you by
Clearwater Irrigation, 8:30 Tuesday morning on 1010 XL.
Everyone agrees that playing quarterback is the hardest thing to do in sports, yet it's the one thing that everyone says they could do.
Denny Thompson is the Quarterback Whisperer. Friday mornings on The Drill. Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security and George Moore Chevrolet.
Fusing together the feel of an old-fashioned burger joint with the exceptional quality found in other Madura Brothers culinary concepts, M Shack has been offering Jacksonville families elevated, fast casual dining options at an affordable price for over 10 years. Today, M Shack locations in the St. John's Town Center and the Nocatee Town Center offer guests a menu that includes all-natural, hormone-free beef burgers, all-beef hot dogs, signature cocktails, and mouth-watering milkshakes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Make sure your roof is ready for the next Florida storm by scheduling a free roof inspection with Universal Roof and Contracting. And right now, get 15% off your roof repairs and replacements, plus flexible financing. This offer expires May 31st and restrictions apply. Ensure peace of mind before the next storm hits. Call 855-ROOF-HELP or visit UniversalRoof.com to schedule your free roof inspection. License number CCC057165, CBC125-8484.
Mueller Air Conditioning presents
Are You Cool?
Today's challenger, a corporate management manager from Jacksonville, Florida. Meet Les Blankston.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
That is a remarkably beige suit there, Les. Tell us, why are you on the show?
Well, I just replaced my old air conditioner with a new one from Mueller, and I'm just so comfortable these days. I wondered, am I cool now?
Let's find out, Les. Go ahead and spin the wheel.
That's right, Les. By upgrading your old AC to a more energy-efficient model from Bueller Air Conditioning, you'll save money, save energy, and proudly show your family that
you are cool.
Do you think I should get a mohawk?
Pace yourself, Les.
Stay cooler with Bueller.
Visit BuellerAir.com.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555, Jacksonville.
After a quick pass, we're back to This Week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL.
Alabama, get away.
Little Grateful Dead on a Sunday, the Alabama getaway, and Flagler College defeated Montevallo back-to-back games for a trip and a chance to win a Peach Belt Conference Championship game today. They're playing Lander. And to be able to play for a championship in your third year, obviously you and I've got to see some of the Flagler games this year. They were battle-tested in playing those Sunshine State Conference teams. And, you know, they had a little glitch with some road trips in conference. But to be able to, you know, be in this position is just huge for Coach Duncan.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Ray, we've been watching Flagler over the years. And for them to be this accomplished this quickly, you know, in a short couple of years. This is a day of redemption here, right? They lost to Lander in overtime, you know, during the regular season. And so Coach Duncan's going to have these kids ready to play and wants to, you know, get that championship today.
And you and I were talking earlier about the Flagler team. It's not just McDonald. They've got five or six guys that at any point in time can put up huge numbers. And that when you're in the playoffs like this and you're playing an opponent that you know and knows you, having the ability to not rely on just one guy, because – you know, you can shut down one guy, but when you've got Miscusis and, you know, the Winter Park boys and all of that. That team has just got so many options on offense.
Yeah, the Moore brothers have definitely contributed this year. And like you said, they have a lot of different options to score. They're solid at the face-off backs, right? They're solid in goal. So they have all the dynamics to be able to, you know, compete and win this game.
You know, Trace McDonald, Jim, look at these numbers. 34 goals and 36 assists. That's huge. And it's so impressive. The Peach Belt Conference Offensive Player of the Year, Ty Douglas with 25 goals. Luke Burton, that shifty attackman with 22 goals, and then Garrett Shaw, Logan Tobias with 19, and we talked about Griffin Moore and Antonis Miscusis, and Nate Lehr is playing huge in goal, so I'm really looking forward to watching that game. We're going to try to get Coach Duncan on at some point during the show today. He's out in Alabama. The game got pushed back a couple of hours. I think it's at I think now it's at 3 o'clock, so huge day for Flagler. Let's just jump back to high school for a moment. The matchups, we talked about the big schools, 2A. Then in the 1A, you've got St. Andrews and Community School of Naples, Bowles and Benjamin. That's some scary teams. I don't know much about community school from the West region, but if you make it out of your region, that's pretty impressive. So in 2A, you said that Lake Mary St. Thomas Aquinas is going to be the de facto championship game. No telling what's going to happen in 1A.
Yeah, you really don't. Bowles is going to have to be on their A game in order to beat Benjamin, and St. Andrews has been the cream of the crop this year. Probably the between them and Lake Mary, the top two teams in the state.
So we want to go ahead and get Coach Duncan on. Coach, how you doing this morning? I'm excited for you and the boys. And how are things out there in Alabama?
We're doing good, man. We're on our fourth day here, so I guess we had a little success early.
What was your motto this year? Something about adversity?
Yeah, adversity breeds champions.
And you've had a little bit on this trip. Tell us about the ride over.
Yeah, so we went to go to practice, I guess, the day we got in, and Thursday, and had a flat tire about 5 minutes outside the hotel, and so we sat there for 2 hours and missed our practice time and then went up to have some dinner. We hit dinner on time. Then we went to the awards ceremony, and then they were nice enough to turn the lights on and let us have our 55 minutes after the awards banquet. So it turned out that it worked out good, and, you know, we kind of smiled through it, and they had a little karaoke on the bus to pass the time.
What did you sing?
I didn't sing, right? You know that. I'm not the sing guy.
You're more of a stand there and groove type of guy.
But if I'm gonna sing, I'm probably going with Casey Jones. It's a good one to get the boys rolling.
Okay, very good. So Dunk, we were just talking about the scoring options on your team. You know, Chase McDonald obviously gets a lot of play, but when you look at Garrett Shaw and Tobias and Douglas and Burton, you've got a lot of options, and it takes away the opponent's ability to shut one guy down.
Yeah, they're all learning to play, you know, with six guys on the field, and it's kind of positionless offense. They're going from different areas, different spots, and they don't really care where they're dodging from. They're just trying to create situations, and they've gotten good at it. Yeah, so it's kind of helped because Trace does draw so much attention because everybody kind of knows that the first guy's probably not going to cover him too well, and they got to do something to stop him. So having those other guys playing off ball has really opened Trace up to get, you know, a few more one-on-one situations that he gets to take advantage of.
I get accused mostly by Applegate of just talking about goalies and then the offensive guy, but you've got these defenders. Gonzalez is so impressive, and Kersey. Talk to me about your defenders and their ability to play good footwork defense but also throw some takeaway checks.
Yeah, they actually have doubled up our teams in the Peach Belt Conference on caused turnovers per game, almost each game that we've been in. So they're playing together as a unit. They slide well. They communicate well when we're playing at our best. They do have the ability to cover one-on-one, and I think we have two or three guys down there that have that ability. And, you know, getting some IQ from the MIA Conference with, you know, Brandon Gruscholt and Blake Gonzalez, teaching Ethan Lyles the game, and then, you know, Ori Armory's an MIA kid as well from Calvert Hall.
So for those of us who aren't from Maryland, what's MIA?
It's one of the best conferences in all of high school lacrosse up in Baltimore. So it's the private school conferences, and these guys are just, you know, they've been playing for a long time, and they get recruited into these schools, and there's great coaching. So when those guys show up on your teams in college, they usually have a nice base to work from. And this group that we have is really, really up to what we are on the defensive side of the field, especially this year. It's all kind of caught fire.
Coach, when you tell me what we can expect out of Lander, what do they try to do? Obviously, that overtime game was a thriller, a loss for you guys, but I'm sure you're pretty hungry. What can we expect out of Lander?
Lander's got a very active defense. You know, they're big, they're athletic, they make plays. They got a very good goalie. Their attack unit's probably, you know, one of the top attack units in the PBC. Midfield-wise, they're big and strong and shoot it hard, so you know, I think they're going to bring everything they got at us. We're going to bring everything we got at them, and we'll see who's standing at the end.
Dunk, when you showed up in town in 2008, 2009 time frame, I never would have expected, you know, JU's playing for a conference championship today. Flagler's playing for a conference championship game. Bulls won an overtime thriller yesterday. Lake Mary defeated Ponte Vedra. This is one of the wildest, most exciting weeks for lacrosse in North Florida. Just give me your impression of the state of the game in LAX 904 land.
Well, you know, I haven't been able to get out to a lot of the games this year to see the actual talent. I know that I've had a lot of the coaches writing me about the local talent, so I've been trying to pay attention. But I do believe that North Florida lacrosse it's always been on the grow, you know, ever since I've been here. There's been new coaches coming to town, new, you know, guys like Matt Rambo coming to town and just making the place better. So I think we're in a great state and you know, not only in a state, but also in a state of lacrosse. And,
I got to tell you, Dunk, we're really excited for you and the boys. And, you know, I know you're hungry for this championship. We are too. We want it for the Flagler Saints and all the hard work and the club guys that laid the foundation, your boosters, the fans. Just really excited for today, and just have a great game. And I know you're doing what you love to do, and it shows.
Well, you know, Ray, we've got the seniors actually graduating right now. They're walking across stage in St. Augustine, Florida, and we had a donor actually get us a private jet that's going to be flying them up, and we're hoping that they arrive for warm-up 60 to 90 minutes before we play this game. So it's been a pretty cool experience. It's stressful. It's a lot of things, but the guys are...
So, Dunk, we need you to sing us out. Dunk, you going to sing us out?
I think we just lost.
All right. Well, Dunk, have a great day today, and we're rooting for you.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Go get him, Dunk.
Wow. How exciting is that for the Flagler Nation?
Yeah. And it's crazy. You know, Duncan talked about adversity. So he's got seniors in Jacksonville right now, down in St. Augustine, walking, graduating, getting on a plane, and got to go play a game this afternoon.
You know, the thing about the whole flat tire and the bus and all of that, that's a bonding moment. It kind of takes away some of the stress and anxiety about thinking about the game and overthinking the game, and it just kind of breaks you loose. They're having fun. They're doing karaoke. They go to the awards. They go run around on the field at night. It breaks it up because sometimes those road trips are monotonous.
It is, and like you said, it gives you a little downtime, a little chuck it up time, and
something to laugh about.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's really good, and you know, today's all about execution, right? So whoever executes the best is going to win. That goes from JU to Flagler to everybody.
If you want to call in and ask us some questions, give us your thoughts on any of the games. We're going to talk a lot about JU and Air Force, recapping that game, and then JRU in Utah. I want to thank all of my sponsors. Bar Down Lacrosse, our title sponsor. They've been great to us. Derek Prince from Remax Specialists. The M Shack. The Jack's Blue Claws Lacrosse Club. And Cantina Louie. Head over to Cantina Louie for some tacos today. It's Cinco de Mayo, a special Cinco de Mayo edition of This Week in LAX 904. We're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to the number one rated lacrosse show in all of North Florida on a championship Sunday, This Week in North Florida Lacrosse.
She's very comfortable talking sports and hanging out with the boys.
Mia O'Brien here, still providing the best multimedia sports coverage in Northeast Florida on 1010XL radio, video, and social channels.
All things Mia are driven by Arlington Toyota.
fusing together the feel of an old-fashioned burger joint with the exceptional quality found in other Madura Brothers culinary concepts, M Shack has been offering Jacksonville families elevated, fast casual dining options at an affordable price for over 10 years. Today, M Shack locations in the St. John's Town Center and the Nocatee Town Center offer guests a menu that includes all-natural, hormone-free beef burgers, all-beef hot dogs, signature cocktails, and mouth-watering milkshakes.
Mueller Air Conditioning presents
Are You Cool?
Today's challenger, a corporate management manager from Jacksonville, Florida. Meet Les Blankston.
Yeah, hi, Bob.
That is a remarkably beige suit there, Les. Tell us, why are you on the show?
Well, I just replaced my old air conditioner with a new one from Bueller, and I'm just so comfortable these days. I wondered, am I cool now?
Let's find out, Les. Go ahead and spin the wheel.
That's right, Les. By upgrading your old AC to a more energy-efficient model from Bueller Air Conditioning, you'll save money, save energy, and proudly show your family that
you are cool.
Ooh, do you think I should get a mohawk?
Pace yourself, Les.
Stay cooler with Bueller.
Visit BuellerAir.com.
Catch Gators baseball all season long on 1010XL. Brought to you by Farrah and Farrah, the official personal injury law firm of the Jaguars. And Renewal by Anderson, the official window and door replacement partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's not Pistol Pete, he's Pete Prisco.
Been on the wanted list almost 20 years.
CBS Sports senior NFL writer Pete Prisco joins the Franchi Show Friday afternoons on 1010XL. Brought to you by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles.
All right, sports fans, Hicken here, and let's talk skin. Beaches Dermatology reminding you all to wear your sunscreen. Summer's almost here, gang, and that means more time outside. You're grabbing the clubs for your tee time. You're heading out to the boat. Just headed to the beach. Definitely bring the sunscreen. Hey, Mother's Day is coming up, so get your lady a gift card for some skincare. We know women love their skin. Beaches Dermatology, give them a call. I've been seeing them for years, and my skin thanks me for it. Call today online at beachesdermatology.com.
1010XL is presented by Farrah and Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555, Jacksonville.
Thrilling like a long pole goal. It's this week in North Florida lacrosse on 1010XL.
Just breathe it in, Jim. Wish I was out there. You know, I did the GoFundMe to get me out there, and I got enough for a one-way bus ticket. So
should have taken it, right?
Yeah, I guess I could hang out with Evan Tyler. Did you know Evan Tyler is second in career goals at JU? With 91. My favorite, he had 37 in 2019. My favorite Evan Tyler goal against Mercer. Do you remember that overtime?
I can't pull that one out.
Hey, Evan, do you remember that goal?
No, I got a friend on who might remember it. I think he was in the stands, actually.
Who was that?
Ricky.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh.
Yeah. What's happening, fellas?
How we doing, Ray?
You tell me, you were at the Air Force game the other day. I think the last three games you were at for JU, they've won. Is that true? The last three, Denver, Air Force.
That sounds right, yep.
So tell me about the Air Force game. What was the energy like, and what was that game like for you?
Well, we outnumbered them, for sure, in their own stadium. Came out, kicked them in the mouth, and didn't look back, really. I mean, they kept it interesting for the fans, and let Air Force tie it up and pull it away again. We had a better tailgate, a happier demeanor, I would say. You know, our bench was going crazy per usual.
So when you look at this, when you look at this JU team, who are some of the guys that you really enjoy watching?
Well, I mean, that's my puppy. All three of the tacklemen right now are obviously hot. J.I. and Grinder are easy. But Jack Taylor is the man, and I've been kind of waiting for this Angel kid, number 11.
Yep.
We've been kind of pulling for him for the longest. So, you know, for him to find his stride,
would be exciting for me today. Between him and Caputo and Jack Taylor, I think all three of those guys are studs.
Did you say, is the other Applegate on with us too?
I am.
It's the handsome Applegate. Now, I got the record book open, so we got two of the record holders here. Eric Applegate, number two in career assists right now, number three in goals. But if you know, those guys that got extra years, though, Eric, I'm not counting those. So, Eric, who do you like watching on this JU team?
Honestly, I love when they throw old Sammy Chase out there.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely a different look from the attack, and I think that always fires up J.I. because he comes in and then puts a couple in right after. So I think throwing Sammy Chase in for a different look up has been a great look for the offense.
All right. Did you talk to your dad about – did you guys collude on this? Because he was saying the same thing, you know, change it up, different look, all those same things. I think it's just that Applegate lacrosse IQ. Jim, talk to me about what that does when you bring a Sam Chase in, emotional boost too.
Yeah, like you said, it's just a different energy. And, you know, Sammy just plays with a swagger, right? And the bench sees that, the players on the field sees that, and he's like that X factor, right? Because you really don't know what he's going to do. He might, you know, dive through the crease and score a goal or make a really nice, you know, pass to a guy on the backside. So he's just that dynamic player that everyone likes to watch.
So, E.T., what time are you heading over there?
We were supposed to leave 6 minutes ago. The 2 o'clock game fit our schedule a little bit better, but we were we had a good tailgate. Everybody was rocking and rolling. We'll probably, you know, head out in 10 minutes at the latest, I hope.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling in. You know, we'll be checking in with you during the game. Represent out there. Have a blast. And, boy, if they make it to the NCAA tournament, I expect both of you to join Jim and I wherever it is, and we'll head up to Duke probably and watch that game. So,
I'll do that.
Appreciate you guys joining.
Yeah,
have a great day today.
I appreciate it. We'll be
here. Adios, muchachos. So, a couple of legends there.
Yeah, it was fun watching them play together, and I was going to pick on Evan. That they had to buy a new number 44 because it's the guy that's wearing it now is a little bit bigger than Evan was when Evan played.
Yeah, Marshall McGuire. I always get in trouble when I say this, but like I do have favorite players, not personally, just the guys I like watching play, and Evan was certainly one of them. Marshall McGuire, going back to Brad Hester, and it's the guys who just they've got a little personality that shows through on the field. And you mentioned Sam Chase, and, you know, obviously Dan May is injured, but it's so important to have those. And I was probably considered like a little one-off on my team back in the day, but it just breaks things up.
Yeah. And you know, let's face it, Gray, everyone leaves the goalies alone, right?
Yeah.
So, cause we know you guys are a little bit, on the strange side.
So let's go back to the Air Force game. What was it like watching a game in my living room with me? Does the anxiety rub off a little bit?
Well, I'm not really sure what I needed more. Did I need more whiskey, or did I have to double up on my meds?
Or your
blood pressure?
Or your chicken cutlets?
Or that too?
Yeah. So it was a great game. People are like this with their NFL teams or their hockey teams. JU's my team, so even when they had that big lead, and you always say this, you know, the run's coming, and that's something they're going to have to guard against today and be prepared for. And they've done a good job this year. You know, they got behind too far against Utah, but they did battle back. Same thing versus Michigan, you know, these tough teams. The Air Force game, though, it was just really balanced scoring, great assists, some highlight reel goals. That Nicky Brown goal was just unbelievable, that backhanded scoop, and he's playing really well.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the balance that that JU had in that game is just was really fun to watch. Really, really fun. The fact that, like you said, they've been battle tested. They have the ability and the patience and the confidence that if they get down a little bit or the other team makes the run, they know that, you know, how to counteract that and how to react to that and come out on top.
When you look at the goal scorers, for Nicky Brown to step up with 3 goals, and then Jacob Greiner had those late goals, Sam Chase with 2, Marshall McGuire's on a little bit of a tear here lately with 2 goals, Pio, Angel, Intrary, Taylor, and Caputo each had a goal. And, you know, we talked about, you know, we give a lot of attention to the attack and so forth, but got to give a shout-out to Pio because it's not just the goal scoring. the way he's been moving the ball, it's different. He's not holding it. He's in the flow. He's playing with his head up.
Yeah, he's played his best two or three games here at the end of the, end of the season. And like you said, he's out there. He's surveying the field. He's making good decisions and really helping the team out.
So Jacksonville defeated Air Force by a score of 15-10. They went up big early, 6-2 after one. Then it was 8-5. And then that fourth quarter, though, 5-1, they just put 2 feet on the gas and just stood on it.
Yeah, and I think that's where we've been talking all season about Jacksonville's depth, and I think that that paid dividends in that game.
So Nathan Kapp at the faceoff spot, he's credited for 18, went 18 out of 29. But great wing play, and we keep saying Nathan Kapp just keeps getting better and better. And he had a good game against Utah earlier in the season, and they're going to need another one of those today.
Yeah, and having D'Armenio on the wing really certainly helps too, because he's a ground ball machine.
The rope unit, Braden Harrison and Hubs was a little quiet, but Garrity too. Those ground balls and that transition. We're gonna go ahead and take a break right now. We're gonna come back and wrap up, talk a little bit more about JU and focus on Utah and what they've got to do to stop that potent offense, handle the transition. Then we're going to go around the Division I and the NCAA and talk about Selection Sunday and who's in and who's out. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to This Week in LAX 904 on 1010XL.
What's the weekend in sports look like? I'm Dan Hicken, and I'll give you my take on The Weekend with Dan. Find it on YouTube and Facebook. Weekend with Dan, brought to you by Stone Core. We do outdoors better.
M Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More is the newest sponsor of our LAX 904 broadcast, fusing together the feel of an old-fashioned burger joint with the exceptional quality found in other Madura Brothers culinary concepts. M Shack has been offering Jacksonville families elevated, fast casual dining options at an affordable price for over 10 years. Today, M Shack locations in the St. John's Town Center and the Nocatee Town Center offer guests a menu that includes all-natural, hormone-free beef burgers, all-beef hot dogs, and mouth-watering milkshakes. Friends and families of La Crosse and North Florida will love the gourmet shakes like the glorious Oreo cheesecake, mouth-watering cookies and cream, mind-blowing pecan pie shakes, and more. In addition to the amazing M Shack burger, be sure to try a sunrise burger, veggie burger, or the amazing gluten-free CrossFit burger. Lacrosse fans, visit mshackburgers.com to see the entire menu or visit an M Shack in person today.
I'm Hacker, and Denny Thompson and I will navigate you through the Florida football offseason during the Gator Bites podcast, presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. New episodes drop every Friday. Get Gator Bites where you find podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, this is Hayes Carlyon for QC Kinetics. This is the absolute worst time of the year to be dealing with joint pain. You can't do all the outdoor stuff you love to do, hiking, jogging, biking, playing on the beach. Don't go through summer missing out on life. Call QC Kinetics now and find out how they can use biologics from your own body to give new life to your achy joints. You got to call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation. 904-274-5522, serving the Jacksonville area with locations in Mandarin and Ponte Vedra Beach. Again, this is the future of medicine. Tens of thousands of QC Kinetics patients around the country are living their best life this year because they made the call. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation. Revolutionary treatments for joint pain are here. Again, Mandarin and Ponte Vedra Beach. Call QC Kinetics now, 904-274-5522. That's QC Kinetics.
Discover the difference that local expertise makes at First Coast Lighting and Fans. Visit their showroom at the Avenues and browse high-quality products to match your desire for elegance, quality, and uniqueness at First Coast Lighting and Fans.
For lost or broken keys or nearly any make and model of vehicle, call 722-1111. For
Instant Keys.
Instant Keys.
You don't have to go to the dealer. Instant Keys comes to you.
If your ride is making strange noises, don't wait and make it worse. Come to Action Transmission on Merrill Road. My expert technicians can diagnose the problem and likely fix it fast. Experience the difference at Action Transmission on Merrill Road.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville.
Keep your head on a swivel. It's This Week in North Florida Lacrosse with Ray Carnicelli on 1010XL.
Stand up and shine!
Jim, stand up and shout.
Get off the desk, right?
Oh, we're going to be standing up and we're going to be shouting for the game today. Jacksonville versus the Utes. You honestly didn't know what a Ute was? You asked me earlier.
I really did not know.
The Ute tribe.
Yeah.
Boy, they are a tough team.
They are. They're a handful.
Casey, who do you got in the game today, Jacksonville or Utah?
Duval, baby.
Duval, first, if they win today, it's the first time ever going to the NCAA tournament, and I want it badly. I don't care if they're going to Notre Dame, if they're going to Duke, but they got to get by this Utah team, and they are scary tough. And, Jim, you had mentioned a lot of production out of a couple of guys for Utah.
Yeah, their attack is really off the charts special, and you know, you have Bradbury and Steins and
Steins was the guy who just kept getting wide open in front of the goal.
No, that was Hyde.
Hyde, okay.
Hyde number four. Right?
Yeah, number four.
So, he's crafty in there. He just finds seams in the middle of the field. Great hands, and his ability just to get off quality shots when guys are draped all over them is just it's uncanny.
All right, now you're getting me nervous. Here comes my anxiety again. What does Jacksonville have to do to stop them?
I think you got to start checking his stick on the ball when the ball's coming into him, so he doesn't catch the ball. Because if you're on his back, he's gonna make a play on you, and so you know, got to have an ability. And JU should know now after playing them when that shot clock is getting down, you know, under 10 seconds. All they're doing is looking to jam the ball inside to him.
So my lacrosse knowledge is limited to, like, as a fan and as a goalie. So when you were talking to me about that whole two-step thing and
Ray, you're a lacrosse genius. You know everything.
Thank you, Milo. Where is Milo? He's celebrating that Sacred Heart win. I miss Chris.
I do, too.
That just warmed my heart, though, to know that he's thinking of me.
Well, I just miss all the research that he does and all the preparation for
the show's kind of discombobulated without him here. So go back to the whole two-step thing and what went wrong that first time.
Yeah, so Utah, they were known to be able to slide quickly and slide early, and I think Jacksonville was thinking about, okay, drawing the slide away from, draw them out, and so that they can't recover. And two-stepping basically is you take two steps towards towards the guy with the ball, look like you're going to slide, and you stop, and you recover and guard your guy. And they did that a lot in the first half, and I think that caught Jacksonville a little bit off guard, and then the adjustments that JU made in the second half, obviously, because they were able to come back and make a game of it towards the end.
So when you're watching the Utah game today, there's going to be you're going to see two poles pushing it into the offense. Sometimes you're going to see three poles pushing it into the offense. They don't run off quickly either. A lot of what Jacksonville likes to do in that transition game, but Utah just brings it to another level. They look for that early offense. And, Jacksonville's okay. They just cannot give up the odd man rushes. And so sometimes it means not necessarily giving up on your offensive possession, but you might have to just backtrack, and those offensive middies cannot get caught subbing out. You have to go and be prepared to play some defense. So if you're watching the game and you see, Jack Taylor and Marshall McGuire and, those middies, Caputo and so forth, they're going to have to play some defense today, I think.
Yeah, and don't even be surprised if you see an attackman get trapped over there, because, if you're towards the midfield and you see Utah breaking up, and Coach Galloway wants the attackman to be, he always tells them, you guys are lacrosse players, get down there, stop the break, and then get subbed out when your opponent goes and subs.
So if I have a concern for Jacksonville, it's on the defensive end, and it's that communication on the switches and slides. And one way to prevent that is to just err on the side of staying with your guy. If there's a screen, don't get caught in the middle of your switch. Stay with it and force them to make the pass. Don't give up you know, don't get off the guy with the ball.
Yeah, and let's face it, you know, De La Rocco, you know, he's really been a difference maker back there, and really, you know, turned a lot of those mistakes that the defense have made into saves and, you know, and possessions for the team.
So in terms of Jacksonville's scoring today, you know, there's not just one guy, and that's what's so good about it. Were you surprised when they put Chase in at attack?
No, not really. You know, again, I think it's I think it's a different. Sometimes you just need that energy that and just that change. And you know, like they said, you know, Jackson came in and right after after that and scored a goal, so kind of lit a fire under him too. And it's, you know,
I guess
he sees the production, and these kids are all competitor. They all want to be out there.
I guess the surprise from my point was that he had been coming in from the midfield for the last few games. So that was just a nice little. And I asked Coach Galloway in the Q&A I did with him if there were going to be any surprises. And of course, he's not going to tell me. Yeah, here's all my surprises I'm going to throw at him. But I think that was one. Just give Air Force a different look, and that was successful. So there may be some changes today. He continues to switch up the midfield lines a little bit. It's the same 9 or 12 guys. I don't know how healthy Lamond is. He played, but he was limited. He's been banged up this year, and he's such a physical player. If he's healthy and he gets free, I think Lamond could have a really big day today.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Coach Galloway has really done a good job, too, of, like you mentioned, playing the hot hands, right? He runs, you know, 6 to 9 middies out there, and then who's having the game that day? And then he starts putting those guys together, and you'll see in the second half that he's got those 3 or 4, you know, 4 guys playing, you know, together and making a difference out on the field.
You know, you heard E.T. mention Angel, and when you've got, you know, Gavin Angel and Jack Taylor, you know, last year I remember seeing them run with Marshall McGuire, and those are some stout guys in terms of like their physical ability too. This is probably, and I've mentioned it before, it's definitely the deepest, most talented midfield. They've had some talent, but not 9-12 deep, however many they go.
Yeah, there's times where they can, we call it, you know, going big, right? You know, you put in Caputo and you know, and McGuire. They're just physical specimens out there, and you notice it. Their presence on the field is really pretty much unmatched when they're out there together.
And, you know, Jacksonville was they played 20 guys. So is that a lot or a little or about average?
No, it's about average.
Okay.
You usually play between 20 and 23 people.
Okay, so they're getting that time on defense. But Boudouris, obviously Pellegrino's playing a lot, and Taguri. So those guys are going to have a lot of pressure on them today. But Ryan De La Rocco does take some of that pressure off. He makes some saves that I'm just shaking my head. And it's a very different style of goaltending. He ends up on the ground a lot, and typically that's something that coaches don't want to see. When they critique a goalie, they might say he flops and he's off balance. But De La Rocco is on balance, and he just smothers the ball.
Yeah, it's as an offensive player, when you go against somebody who's kind of unconventional like that, it really does kind of get in your head a little bit, because you're not really sure where he's going, whether he's going to, like you said, dive down, jump up. So it really puts a lot of pressure on you when you shoot.
So let's talk about Division I. It's Selection Sunday, the conference tournaments. So we had Coach Kerwick on last week, and I was teasing him today that we're going to spend a whole segment on his disastrous picks that he made. Who did he have winning the Ivy League? I believe it was Cornell.
Cornell.
They lost in the semifinals. And then in the Patriot League, I believe he had Army. They lost in the semifinals as well. He had Hopkins winning. They lost in the semifinals as well.
We could have made a lot of money betting against his picks.
Just go the opposite way of Coach Kerwick. So the Freddies, the local Freddies, had a good week. Hopefully one of them doesn't have a good day today. But Freddie DiMarzo for Utah had 2 goals against Cleveland State for Utah in that semifinal win, and boy, he can sting it.
Yeah, he's really progressed as an offensive player, and he's very dynamic out there. His quickness is pretty special, and when he gets his hands free, he lights it up.
And then Freddie Amato, the other Pontevedra Freddie, up at Lehigh, that's a huge win. So Lehigh defeated Navy by a score of 12-8. And Amato with 2 huge assists in a massive game. And then we've got Dylan Hass at Georgetown. They won an overtime thriller last night. So those teams are all still in action. And obviously the Notre Dame guys with Dobson and Carter Parlett. So, and we do want to give a shout out to Wilhelm for Air Force. He had another nice goal. So the local guys, some of them are still contending for conference titles and national championships.
Again, just talking about the depth of the lacrosse players and the talent that we've pushed out of this area, it's just remarkable.
When today's games, Lehigh versus Boston University. So Freddie Amato will be back in action today for the Patriot League Championship. That game's at noon. Notre Dame versus Duke in the ACC Championship game. So chance to see Dobson and Parlett in a huge game. That's number one team and number two team in the country play at noon on the ACC network. That's the ACC Championship. And then the ASUN, obviously, Jacksonville and Utah at 1 o'clock. And then the Ivy League, Princeton versus Penn, also at 1 o'clock. And then everything will be settled. And then it's up to the committee to determine who's in and who's out. And when you look at the most recent bracketology, there's going to be some good teams that just don't make it.
Yeah, what do you do with Cornell? What do you do with Penn State? There's teams out there, like you said, that are just going to be disappointed. But unfortunately, when you don't play your best at the end of the season, you're asking for trouble, especially with the way the committee always goes and kind of surprises you.
So this is Terry Foy from Inside Lacrosse's bracketology before yesterday. He had Notre Dame as the one seed. Then he had, in the play-in game, he had Albany and Sacred Heart, the two champions from the America East and the MAC, in the play-in game. Maryland, he had Maryland in, Penn in, Virginia, St. Joe's, not sure they're going to get in, Hopkins, Lehigh, St. Joe's won.
St. Joe's won.
Yeah, they won.
Richmond, they're in.
So Hopkins, Lehigh, Syracuse, Towson, Penn State, Georgetown, Denver, Princeton, Utah, and Duke. So he did not have Cornell getting in. And, they were a top five team all season long, as was Army. I had mentioned his prior bracketology. He had the ASUN champion playing in the play-in game, and I at that point in time I said, no, they're not going to have to play in that play-in game. And he did clarify. Terry Foy did clarify for me that play-in game, it's not just RPI alone. The committee can put whoever they want in there. Mm. So they want the two weakest conference champions. And so right now it is the MAC in the America East. It's not the ASUN. And last year Utah was the champs of the ASUN, and they did not have to play in that play-in game. I don't know where that game takes place, if it's at the home field or not. But, that's down the road. So tonight on ESPN, Quint and Kark and the boys are going to have the Selection Sunday show, and there's going to be some disappointing teams. Do you think Hopkins gets in?
At this point, I don't think they get in, right?
So it'll probably be Penn State and Michigan and Maryland?
I would think so.
All three?
I would think so.
Okay. And the other one is the big one is the Ivy Leagues. When you've got Princeton and Penn, there's going to be another good team that doesn't make it.
Yeah, and that, like you said, Cornell's on the outside, looking in, and again, just didn't take care of business.
So what are your final thoughts on the JU game today? How do you feel? I know Utah's always scared you.
Yeah, they're, again, that style, that hectic, frenetic pace. I really think if the defensive unit comes together and plays the way they can, I think JU comes out with a one-goal victory.
Casey, did you have a question you wanted to ask me?
We'll save it till next week.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm anxiety starting to build up. You're going to come over and watch the game?
I will be over.
All right, so Jim's going to be over. Follow me on Twitter. At Lax904. It's Championship Sunday. Let's go, Flagler. Let's go, Jacksonville. You're listening. You've been listening to the one number one rated lacrosse show in all of North Florida this week in North Florida Lacrosse.
You've been listening to the fastest game on 2 feet. This week in North Florida Lacrosse on 1010XL 92.5 FM.